question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert and Mary and our show team anytime on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X at RM World Travel. Now, back to award-winning RM World Travel.
All right, as we get back to it, everyone, and bring it back here to the New York City area with us, it is 18 minutes past the hour as we broadcast across the USA on this February 10th, and we're sponsored by a new sponsor, PrepareWithCarrie.com.
Do you live in an area prone to tornadoes, hurricanes, or flooding? Maybe you enjoy camping, backpacking, hunting, boating, or living life in the outdoors. If the economy collapses, will you collapse with it? Well, the way different things can happen in our world these days, being ready is more important than ever. Self-reliance is critical for survival.
Well, it certainly is. That's why we want you to go check out My Patriot Supply at PrepareWithCarrie.com. Don't get stuck not being ready for that. Anything can happen at any moment, event, or situation. Too many people out there have the attitude, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry. It's never going to happen to me. And it does, right? Right now, you're going to save $700 in savings on a one-year emergency food kit at PrepareWithCarrie.com. Sealed inside, ultra-durable packaging. These meals can last up to 25 years and provide 2,000 calories daily. This week, you can only get $700 in savings for a one-year emergency food kit supply for less than $2,000. Or find a link at RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
Okay, the airline sector of the travel world is certainly one of the most important. It's not only essential for a lot of our travels, but the impact that it has on the American economy is sizable, and it's been about 5 months since we last spoke to Richard Abulafia. Richard tells it like he sees it. That's why he's considered to be one of America's top aviation analysts. Today we find him in Seattle. Off to that show hotline we go to connect with him.
Actually, Mary, where this show is being heard right now on AM 1300 KKOL. Good morning, Richard. Nice to have you back aboard the big show with us today.
Oh, great to be here, Robert and Mary. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, always enjoy having you on the show with us. You know, last week we had Brett Snyder on with us. We were talking, he was in our Hour 2 open, we were talking about the JetBlue and Spirit situation. I'm going to get to that in a couple minutes with you as well. I'd like your thoughts. But first, since you're in Seattle, a place long associated with Boeing, even though their headquarters now is actually in your neck of the woods where you live, you know, I'd like to know how you look at the company today, and how serious, you're seriously about this, and how serious do you think their past struggles with the 737 MAX and now the quality control issues with the MAX 9 are going to alter the company for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, well, I think I might even reverse that and say the company kind of needs to be altered, you know, just needs to have greater involvement by people at the top with the business of building and designing aircraft. There's a feeling that, you know, Seattle's a bit cut off from the company HQ, which had moved, of course, to Chicago and then on to Washington, D.C., Arlington, Virginia. And there's a feeling that, frankly, the people at the top need to focus less on the finances of the company and more upon the creation of jetliners, their core business.
You know, I think from a consumer standpoint, people are asking, well, when is that going to actually happen? And I, you know, with the FAA and this oversight of all of this, and apparently they're really going to come down and look into it more, you know, more deeply. Do you think that's actually going to happen now?
You know, I sure hope it does. But the thing to remember, of course, is just a few people at the top who are not performing. You know, you look at the company itself, there's still a lot of talent, some mm-hmm. great products, some great technologies, and even a good name, despite incidents and disasters. All that's needed, frankly, is for senior management to change it soon and start to lead a company culture that's more, you know, conducive to getting back to its position as number one jet maker.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to take some time. And I don't know what's going to do that because, frankly, the people at the top do seem a bit removed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. So, Richard, the Chinese have been holding off on Boeing deliveries and delaying them, and this certainly hurts Boeing. They don't get paid until planes are delivered, since we also know the Chinese are working, and I believe it was certified very recently, to manufacture their own aircraft. They're working on the COMAC C919. That's a direct competitor to the 737. Breaking into the global aircraft, this is disruptive. This is going to be disruptive. I would think it's going to further weaken, possibly cause damage to Boeing. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, I mean, they're certainly making every effort to favor and fund the new jetliner program, not just the 919, but the ARJ21 regional jet and maybe the 929 widebody. But the thing to remember is that so far with the 919, it's effectively an American and Western jet with a Chinese aluminum skin over it. In other words, if they don't play ball in terms of opening the borders, we can kill that jet anytime we want. There are some people who think maybe we should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got a GE engine. It's a GE-dominated avionics, GE Safran engine, I should say, CFM. and lots of other Western components. So, you know, good luck taking off without the muscle and the brains behind the aircraft, right?
Well, and again, you are right. I mean, there's no question. Yeah. But aviation today, I mean, we have all of this conglomerate of where things are made and so forth that go into the manufacturing process. But it certainly isn't a good thing if they're able to start putting out some level of production, because that hurts Airbus. It certainly hurts Boeing in this case. So anyway, there's more to follow on that. But I got to take you back to JetBlue and Spirit. Listen, unless, you know, the Trump administration's back in power in January, the JetBlue-Spirit merger, I would say it has no chance of getting done at this point. But to move us past the viability of the deal itself, because who knows what the future is going to be, you know, I'd like to know how JetBlue, they made such a big deal about the need for pilots and planes from Spirit to better compete against Delta, United, American, and Southwest. But now their plan B seems to be to fly older planes longer and work on building loyalty. But the Wall Street Journal just ranked them dead last in performance. So does the math compute here for you, Richard?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would think they would actually start to focus on, you know, the actual customer satisfaction part of the business rather than a merger. And it wasn't even a, you know, a merger of businesses of equals or anything like that. As you say, it was kind of a, we want your capacity, period. We're going to stamp out everything about you. And, you know, it was kind of interesting, the two schools of thought, which, as you say, is very politicized, both on, in either way. But, you know, one being competition, 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 therefore we must stop the merger. And the other being, well, actually, a bigger new player would be more competitive against the big four. So there's two schools of thought. I really can't tell you which one is right. I mean, but they were very, very much in competition with each other. But as you say, the key thing is that JetBlue used to be really, really well-rated. It would be good for them to focus on getting back there.
So do you agree? I say 18 to 24 months from now or so. I mean, maybe we want to push it out, you know, 2.5 years. Unless something miraculous happens for Spirit Airlines, I seriously doubt they're going to be flying, especially after this summer. I think about a third to 40% of their planes, they're going to be grounded because they've got to fix that Pratt & Whitney engine metal issue.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's, you know, the powdered metal issue from the GTF, that's absolutely a key issue, key headwind. But, you know, there were so many other fundamental problems. It's pretty clear in this environment that being an ultra-low-cost carrier, small ultra-low-cost carrier relative to others, is just not a great place to be. So I understood why they wanted to sell themselves to JetBlue and be done with it. We'll see if they can survive. It's a lot of headwinds.
I'm going to go in a totally different direction. We've talked a lot recently about how airlines are more focused on credit cards and the less on flying to earn the loyalty status and points. But we haven't talked a lot about a move that United Airlines is weighing, and that's to take customer information and help brands serve targeted ads to passengers via the in-flight entertainment systems. One way, fine, they have a captive audience at 35,000 feet, but I don't really like the idea of collecting passenger information and targeting specific ads to each passenger. If United moves ahead with these plans, I'm sure others may follow. Any thoughts on data mining and targeting advertising?
You know, Mary, I'm trying to think of a equivalent meaning of ill-advised, and I can't, so I'm just going to go with ill-advised. It does not seem like a good idea. As we tried before, you know, I think you get people in back offices who think, oh, you know, we've got new algorithms, new IT, new AI, whatever, buzzword. They don't really know what to do with it, so they come up with stuff like this. You know, and I remember British Airways back a few years ago had this No More campaign, and they would start greeting people with things about them, and what a surprise. People found that kind of creepy, and I think people would find this kind of creepy. Mm-hmm. You don't want customers to feel that way.
Well, and more importantly, when they're asking
customer service friendly.
They want you using your apps to book your tickets and your check-in. Now they're going to be taking your data to help show you things on the plane and then selling. Anyway.
No, thank you.
All right, well, we've got about a minute left with you at this point. You know, we've talked Boeing, we've talked some airlines. Also want to talk Airbus, because they are now the dominant world leader in aircraft manufacturing. Last year, 2023, it was a record-breaking year for them. They doubled, literally doubled their 2022 order total. Any thoughts right now on where we are with Airbus?
I mean, it's just a question of how quickly they can tool up their supply chain, their final assembly lines to build more jets. It's really good for them when, of course, their only competitor, their only serious competitor, is not very well led. You know, it's funny, I went decade after decade of never flying across the Atlantic in a single aisle jet. In the past year and a half or so, I've done nothing but fly across the North Atlantic in A321neo, single aisle jet. Everyone wants one. And, you know, they got 1,300 orders for that last year. courtesy of Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun, who told the world they should order one because Boeing wasn't going to do a competitor to it.
Right.
Bizarre statement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm flying to Ireland in a couple of weeks on a 321neo.
Yeah, well, we're headed over to the UK. It took me some effort to find a 777, for sure. Well, Richard, always enjoy the conversations with you. We really do. It goes by quickly. Our best to you. Enjoy Seattle. And best wishes as you trek back across the country to your family on the East Coast.
Thanks very much, Robert. Mary, great talking with you.
Likewise. Take care.
All right, Mary, always enjoy our conversations with Richard.
He is candid.
Yes, he certainly is. Right now, folks, as we pause for a few important sponsor messages in the bottom of the hour break, private door-to-door car travel is next. And Mary and I, we're going to be back answering emails sent in to us. Stay with us.
As we take a brief sponsors break, now's a good time to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, X, or LinkedIn at RM World Travel. We're coming right back.